hey, folks, I'm WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Tito Santana.
This is Kurt Angle.
This is Bret the Hitman Hart. And this is going out to Scott and Holly.
You are listening to the
Win Twice Wrestling Podcast
with Scott and Holly.
Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
And this holds for everybody. Ho!
Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to listen to the incomparable Win Twice Wrestling Podcast with your hosts, Scott and Holly. We always go over, brother, and that's the bottom line. Dig it? So sit back, relax, and prepare to be entertained.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 75 of the Win Twice Wrestling Podcast with your hosts, Scott and Holly.
Hello.
Morning again, Holly.
Willkommen.
Willkommen indeed. Any other German that you'd like to get out of the way? Because there'll be enough of it, to be honest.
No, I've got some in the bag, but save it for later.
Wie heißt du?
Ooh. Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Wo wohnst du?
We're here.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're literally where... I mean, that would be a remarkably silly question, actually, in hindsight.
I can do Ich wohne in einem Jugendherberge.
Ooh, you like youth what?
I live in a youth hostel.
Okay.
Don't know why that's always stuck in my head, because it's factually incorrect.
Yes, so why would you learn that?
I don't know. It just stuck in my head. I can give you Ich habe eine Kopfschmerzen.
I have a headache.
Yep.
Yep. There you go. And we do, well, basically, the reason why we started off with a little bit of a Bavarian flavour, shall we say.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, is that, well, again, we're doing Saturday night's main event, and Oktoberfest was the theme for this particular show.
Yes, it was.
How did that make you feel, Holly?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, both of us were alive for this one, although, granted, nowhere near drinking age.
No.
I mean, I was still probably on the tit at this point, to be fair, but I think you're probably a little bit more advanced beyond that, but I don't know, I'm not here to judge. I think this is a very much a stark contrast to the one that came before it, and I say the one, I don't mean chronologically in terms of, but in terms of what we've recorded, which was helpful, actually, because if it felt like more of the same, you feel like you've watched a two-hour show just split in half, whereas this offered many things that I wasn't expecting.
No.
Some of the promos that we hear in this show up there with some of the most odd things human beings have ever said.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just from Tugboat. So,
oh, God,
I feel like that should be a noise that we make at future progress shows as well.
I have at it.
I will.
Have at it.
I will.
I will not join in.
Me and Jamie both doing it, and you just sat there.
Mortified.
Yeah, because you'll probably be in the middle, as used. So you're just there with these two idiots fucking...
Just head in my hands, just shaking crying. My head.
Yeah, exactly that. But this particular episode of Saturday Night's Main Event took place on the 19th of September 1999, I don't think so, 19th of September 1990, and it aired on the 13th of October of that month.
Ooh.
Of the following month, in fact, because little secret, September and October, not the same month. The venue.
You'd know that.
You'd think so as well, yeah. Venue was the Sports Arena in Toledo, Ohio, and the attendance was unknown.
Ooh.
Rating? Well, it aired on NBC, and that's as much as I'm giving you on this one as well, I'm afraid.
Yep.
Show opening. Holly's already laughing. She knows what we've got in store for us on this one.
Oh, yep.
Well, Holly, this is a pleasant surprise, and not only that, this is a landing and a scene which you feel more than comfortable in, right?
Yeah.
Yep. The show opens at what appears to be Oktoberfest, or at the very least, an antiquated German social gathering with steins of beer, plates of sauerkraut, and foot-long sausages. Down, girl.
I fucking love a bratwurst.
Oh, yeah, don't worry, you get a few more bullets as well. We can see the likes of Jim the Anvil Neidhart stroking his goatee. The bushwhackers going for a walkabout as they shove food in their faces. The genius flouncing his way around the tables with a plate full of sausage. And Mean Gene dancing as the patrons cheer him on. I'm already happy. I don't need the wrestling.
No, just give me this for an hour.
Absolutely. We shift focus into going live at the arena where Vince McMahon, hoarsely, screams that it is a special Oktoberfest edition of Saturday Night's Main Event. Yeah, pick that up. Thank you, though, Vince. Alongside McMahon on commentary is the Meister of Ceremonies, the Glumpty from Glasgow, as they say, Hans and Franz all rolled into one, Rowdy, Roddy, Piper. What I see next, I think I can only describe in a therapist's office with dolls. A naked-looking Piper walks into shot wearing lederhosen and a fetching green hat. McMahon, nice hat. You made him wear it.
I know.
Imagine that. Your boss makes you wear it and you go, you look a dick. Yes, I do. Thank you.
Yeah.
How do you feel about, not in hindsight, about Piper being on commentary?
Hell on earth.
Why?
I immediately wrote down, I want to watch this on mute. Both of them together, it's too shrill, it's too loud, it's enough.
It's enough.
They hadn't even started and I was done with it.
I love that. So you've gone from an Oktoberfest environment where drinks and parties were being had to I don't want to watch this immediately. And nothing's happened.
It giveth. And God, does it taketh away.
I'll tell you what, I got a voice note. So it's rare that I know Holly's fond of a voice note, but I rarely get them.
Yeah.
But then I got one like, I'm just telling you now, I've got a beer and I have never wanted to punch two people more in the face in my entire life than Vince McMahon and Rowdy fucking Roddy Piper. And I was like, I haven't started watching this yet, so I don't know what you're referencing.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, that doesn't bode well. That doesn't bode well at all.
No.
Did your mood pick up, though?
I mean, yes, but not because of those two.
Fine. You nearly said twats or something. You felt like two
was
wasn't...
polite there and didn't
was swear. It going to be a C-bomb?
No.
Vince gives us a brief rundown of the card, where we will see Sergeant Slaughter taking on Coco Beware. Piper says that he hopes Coco bounces Adnan and Slaughter all the way back to Baghdad. The Texas Tornado will defend his Intercontinental title against Jake. Haku.
Gesundheit.
Gesundheit. Thank you. I've got Gesundheit written there. The Macho King will also be squaring off against the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Hulk Hogan will be teaming up alongside Tugboat to take on the team of Rhythm and Blues. Sensory and overload.
I die inside.
Yep. Piper says that where you have Jimmy Hart, there it is, you have a Dino Bravo and you have an earthquake lingering about, and they are the ones that put Hogan and Tugboat out of action. Tugboat, isn't it? It's, I'll tell you what, there's some gold later.
There is so many innuendos throughout this whole entire thing.
And I have not once changed his name, which I want to do. And I was like, no, I'll save it for later when they start changing his name for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because magnificent. It's magnificent. Yeah. Finally, McMahon talks about the six-man tag team match, which will see the Ultimate Warrior and the Legion of Doom take on the team of Demolition. As Piper hears the name Ultimate Warrior, he mockingly begins to beat his chest before saying that Demolition are like United Germany, whereas the face team are like oil and water.
Oh.
Okay, so war reference, pre-war one. Okay. There you go. Hot Rod continues to play with and adjust his hat throughout McMahon talking as though checking himself out in a mirror. But I feel as though Holly is not enjoying this display of vanity, whereas Ventura can do no wrong in her eyes.
Yes. Do you know what? I would have loved to have seen Jess in Lederhosen.
Yeah, I bet you would.
Freaking would have loved that.
Yeah, with his bratwurst just hanging out a little bit.
No, that's so grim.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, okay.
No.
The opening video pack... She shrugged. The opening video package of Saturday Night's main event now plays, featuring the cast of characters set to compete on the show. Once the video package has run its course, we briefly head back to a shot of the arena before McMahon sends us backstage to a pre-taped promo package from Demolition. The three-man team are standing in front of a digitally imposed green screen with the word Demolition written across the back. Looks really good. Axe informs us that tonight Demolition are going to celebrate Saturday night's main event Oktoberfest style, and yet my eyes cannot leave Smash, who is as ever pulling Kenneth Williams' faces.
Oh my god, yes. Yeah.
Or just all the time.
That's
horrendous.
That's so true.
Crush says that they will get revenge against the team that cost them the title belts, and Smash informs us that he's going to pull Animal's finger knuckles right off. He says that, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Specifically
finger knuckles. Yeah, toe knuckles.
Toe knuckles?
I mean... Oh, but, bizarre. Yeah, Crush is going to pull Hawk's... I think they start talking German. But I'm not familiar with the words, because to me it sounds like...
Knuckles, yeah.
Yeah, but Crush says, I'm going to pull off Hawk's eye gambrows. And Axe is going to pick up the Ultimate Warrior, slam him down, and kick his Kopf into the fifth row.
Oh, his head.
Yep.
Yeah.
That bit I understood. I don't know what an eye gamp brow is, but I assume he means eyebrow, but either way. Ah, just realised they're actually trying to throw a bit of German in. That's a theme that will stick, by the way. From here, we shift to a similar setup where the Legion of Doom are standing. So you want a party, huh? Well, we are the original party animals. This is going to be one Oktoberfest you will not forget, as when it is all over, they'll be headed to the hospital. Well, they said a bit of German in there again, but I can't be bothered.
Oh, what a rush.
Okay. There you go, that was low.
Okay, that was low.
Got the right timbre.
Very baritone.
There. Thank you. You say we cost you the tag team titles. Well, you're right. So what are you going to do about it?
Cry into your beer, sob into your schnitzel, or whimper over your wieners.
I love that. I loved it.
Ding, ding, ding. Holly, we have just found promo of the night.
Yes. Yes.
Animal says that coming up from beneath is their very own U-boat set to destroy demolition. From out of nowhere, the Ultimate Warrior appears screaming before he shouts, Blitzkrieg! And then they all start shouting Blitzkrieg.
It's so bizarre.
You are not an animal!
Like, fuck, he's honestly.
This guy.
I just like the idea of him crouching down in front of that whole thing.
And then all of a sudden just appears. It's so good. It's so good.
Oh, dear. Opening match of the night.
Wow.
It's a tour de force, isn't it?
Yeah. All the senses.
All the senses are ignited with this. Demolition versus the Legion of Doom and the Ultimate Warrior. Holly, whose side are you on?
Ooh, I wonder. I mean, Warrior and Legions of Doom.
Legions of Doom.
Legions.
Legions. Legions. So many. So many. Doom. We now head down to the ring where we can see all three members of Demolition preparing themselves for the opening contest of the night. McMahon tells us that indeed we will be prepared for a blitzkrieg, but the question is, who will blitz who? Prick. Piper says that this is exactly what you get when twins marry. Look at these three fellas right here. Out next, making their way to the ring, are the Legion of Doom. Holly, if you had to rock the hair of either Hawk or Animal as a man, which would you pick and why?
Hawk.
Really?
For sure.
Okay.
Do you know what, as well, this is my memory, so I'm aware, he is the only man, apart from Warrior, in this entire match who I can remember his freaking name every time.
Animal, you can't remember?
Never.
But Hawk?
Never. But Hawk, always.
Weird.
I think it's the hair.
Okay.
It's a look.
I mean, Animal's got a pretty striking look himself with his hair.
I don't know why. It just always sticks in my mind.
Fair enough. Last but not least, here comes the WWF champion who, as expected, is sprinting his way down to the ring.
Yay.
We get a low angle camera shot from the R-way floor, which is a nice touch. As Warrior continues to charge about in the ring, you already know that his gas tank will be on empty.
Mm.
We get another good camera shot from the crowd as Warrior raises his title in the air. Also worth noting that Warrior has matched his gear to be aligned with those that he is teaming with.
It's noted.
Yep. I can get on board with that. Before the bell even sounds, the LOD and Warrior charge Demolition, levelling them and sending them out to the floor. Now the bell sounds and we are officially underway. Warrior hugs the LOD before ascending to the middle rope to raise his arms for the fans. The camera focuses on the front row of the crowd, and who is it that we see, Holly?
Goldust.
That is correct, a young Dustin Rhodes. I wonder if he will feature at all during the course of this show.
It's a thinker.
Starting off for each team is Animal and Smash. Smash gets on the front foot by charging and dropping his opponent with a clothesline. Double axe handle, club down on the back and animal, now he finds himself choked over the middle rope. This is Oktoberfest and these guys have come here for a barroom brawl, says Piper. Whip is reversed and Animal drops down before power slamming Smash into the canvas. Hook of the leg earns a near fall. Elbow drop hits home, but when Animal pulls him to his feet, he eats a chop to the throat and Smash tags in Axe. Axe runs across the ring, but only into a kick to the midsection, and Animal tags in the WWF champion.
Yay.
Surprisingly, Axe looks like he's actually going to beg off from the Ultimate Warrior, who is imitating Kevin Bacon in Footloose by dancing on his tippy toes on the spot. That's all I get.
Yeah, like the running bit.
Yep. numerous kicks to the guts in the guts in the corner by the champion, and Vince cries that Axe is going to crumble just like the Berlin Wall. Axe reverses the whip but runs right into the raised boot in the corner and is knocked down from the following shoulder tackle. Second shoulder tackle also puts him down, and after having dropped down, a clothesline now puts him on the canvas again. Smash can take it no longer and runs into the ring, where he is kicked and dropped with a body slam. Crush now hits the ring and eats a kick and also takes a body slam. The Ultimate Warrior is unstoppable. Body slam to Axe, and Warrior hits the ropes but misses the leaping running splash, which fucks him.
Yeah.
That's his kryptonite, falling on his belly. Smash now tags in and he begins clubbing away with double axe handles on the Warrior before throwing him between the ropes to the floor on the Demolition side of the ring.
I did like the on commentary when, I don't know, I feel like it's a Vince. And he goes, Warrior is demolishing Demolition.
Very clever, Vince.
Oh.
Very clever.
Absolutely outstanding.
Yep, good stuff. With the official distracted, Crush takes cheap shots on the champion before returning him awkwardly into the ring. Warrior blocks a right hand, but before he can deliver one of his own, Crush secures him by the arms, allowing Smash a free shot. Axe is back in the ring, and he begins unloading with rapid right hands to the stomach before tagging in Crush, who leaps from the top rope to deliver a double axe handle to the back. Blatant choke by Crush, but Warrior still makes it to his feet, although he does take a rake to the eyes.
Boo.
You prefer Crush in his against Randy Savage WrestleMania time rather than in his dominatrix phase, don't you?
Yeah.
Although he had face paint on that one, actually, as well, now that I think about it. What about his match with Doink at WrestleMania?
I'm not even...
Double Doink from behind?
I'm not talking about that.
That Crush was involved in that
I
as well.
I hate that stupid clown.
Back in the corner of Demolition, and Smash is in the ring punching away at the midsection. In a scene similar to that which we saw at the recent Saturday Night's main event, Demolition drape Warrior over the ropes and begin pounding away in unison.
Ooh.
Animal has seen enough and runs into the ring to throw them to the outside and break up the attack, but as he returns, Smash clotheslines him from behind, sending him to the floor as well. Smash lays the Warrior down across his knee, but as Axe heads to the second rope, Hawk runs into the ring to break up the attempt of a finish. Piper says that the inexperience of LOD and Warrior teaming up could well cost them, which is actually the first salient point he has made.
Mm.
As Warrior struggles to make it to his corner, he raises his arms inexplicably as though he is leading the conga, because he just rolls his arms on the floor, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's really strange. But does manage to make the tag to Hawk. Smash immediately releases the leg of the Warrior and backs off just as Hawk lands a right hand. Off the ropes and down, he goes from a back elbow and he hits the canvas once more off a leaping shoulder tackle. Fist drop finds the mark, and from the apron, Animal signals that Hawk should head to the top rope. Hawk does as suggested and takes flight, connecting with a diving clothesline that levels Smash. Before he can make the cover, the other two members of Demolition enter the ring, but Hawk keeps them at bay because he is that much of a fucking gangster.
Mm-hmm.
Warrior tagged back into the match and he drops Smash twice with clotheslines before knocking Axe off the apron with another. Third clothesline for Smash, and Warrior begins shaking the ropes.
Yeah.
Toddler energy.
It's great.
LOD enter the ring to keep Axe and Crush at bay, allowing Warrior to connect with his leaping shoulder tackle and running splash for the 1, 2, 3. The winners of this match by pinfall, Ultimate Warrior and the Legion of Doom. To celebrate, LOD elevate the WWF champion onto their shoulders, and it is safe to say, Holly, that the fans approve of this result.
Yes.
What did you think of the match?
I also approved of this result.
Yep.
Yes. 2.5 out of 5.
Not quite as high from my perspective. I went 2 stars, but I thought, do you know what?
Yeah.
Given how bad I thought it could have been.
Exactly.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad at all. Didn't hate it. Fairly good content given who was in there,
yeah.
And the ending was fine,
yeah,
in my book.
Agree.
So yeah, good start. Vince now sends us back to Fischerplatz, where Mean Gene is still in full German regalia at the festival. Gene says that they are having a wonderful time at this Bavarian tradition and points out some of the WWF personalities that are at this gathering.
Mm.
We see the genius, the devious Mr. Fuji, and the Orient Express. We see the Doctor of Style Slick and the African Dream Akeem. Mm. Watching a miserable Slick as Akeem is dancing beside him is absolute perfection. Just,
oh, it's so good.
Just the Akeem dance thing, when not in wrestling, is fine by me. Friend of the show, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, is also enjoying the festivities, and he isn't even carrying the US flag, which is quite incredible, really, when you think about this being German. The Hart Foundation are also there drinking in, and even the Bushwhackers are having a good time. Gene says that they plan on being here throughout Saturday night's main event, and I'm willing to overlook the fact that this is during the daytime in an entirely different location to keep the illusion alive. Mean Gene says that alongside him will be his broadcast colleague, get ready to hear Holly cheer, Lord Alfred Hayes.
Yay!
Lord Al is standing beside one of the bronze beer fermenting machines where he critiques the contents of the stein he has been sampling the product from. A bit light, apparently, is this beverage. He must say it isn't as good as the English stuff.
Ooh, beg to differ.
Well, he will continue this thought throughout the evening. Lord Al pulls his face in... in discussion before we head back to Mean Gene, who says they are experiencing some technical difficulties, but they'll be catching up with his lordship a little bit later on.
Yay.
As Gene continues with the festivities, he hands us back to the arena for a show. Sorry, for the show to continue. Vince says, "What?
Oh, go on."
Oh, Vince says, if Lord Al just puts his earpiece in, he could join in on the festification.
Oh,
so that was a word that was thrown out there. McMahon continues to scream and get more irate with the fans as we see graphical images of lederhosen-wearing Germans marching across the screen as we head to a commercial break. When we return, it appears that we are getting ready for match number two.
Yes, we are.
Match number two. Macho King, Randy Savage, with Queen Sherry versus Dusty Rhodes. I feel like we've seen these two have a match together, although that was a mixed tag team match and fucking atrocious. So with that in mind, if you did remember it, were your hopes high, or were they dashed, or what was going through your mind?
They were low.
Fair.
I like to keep a low expectation. And let's be real, we know who's sat in the crowd. So I also assumed that would play a role in this too.
And you would not be incorrect with that.
No.
Also, from one show to the next, we've gone from it just being regular Macho Man to... Macho King.
Macho King.
So, yeah, I don't know. Is that an upgrade?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, fine.
So, I would have been in the corner of Dusty Rhodes, if I'm being honest. I know.
Savage.
I know. Yeah. Body shaming big man there, but that's fine. Being carried to the ring on a sedan is the Macho King, Randy Savage. Holly, give me your thoughts.
Yeah, big fan. Big fan. This is... he just does this perfectly. It suits him to a T. Love it.
Fair. Standing in the ring to greet him is Queen Sherry, and for some unknown reason, Piper is listing all the famous kings that he can think of, including Martin Luther King, Don King, and Larry King. Piper even has a king in his own house. McMahon questions this, and Hot Rod begins calling to an imaginary dog. Here, King! Come on, boy! Only amusing part of this is when Piper pretends that Queen Sherry is responding to the dog calls. McMahon mentions how Sherry has slapped the Ultimate Warrior in the face on three separate occasions. Piper says that this shows Warrior is scared of her, because who lets someone slap them in the face three separate times? Now making his way to the ring, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, baby. As Dusty gets to ringside, he spots his boy in the front row and goes to give him a hug. Mm. When he raises his hand to high-five him, though, Dustin actually flinches, which makes me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
He goes like he's going to get twatted or something. Imagine Dusty did just smack him upside the head for no apparent reason.
No reason.
Yeah, that's my boy, baby! Dusty rolls. Oh, no, he does. Dusty rolls.
Yeah.
Dusty rolls into the ring, causing Savage to roll to the outside. Whilst out there, he spots a poster of the Ultimate Warrior, grabs it from the fan, and rips it into pieces.
Yep.
The bell sounds as Savage continues to disrobe for the match. He jumps up onto the apron, where he is met by Big Dust, who scores with an elbow to the top of the head. Corner whip sees Savage hit the buckles hard as the American Dream dances to a tune that only he can hear. Second corner whip leads to a bear hug attempt, but Savage quickly rakes the eyes. So what? Okay, what is worse there? An attempted bear hug, or the fact it's countered quickly with a rake to the eyes? Because that's two boos.
It is two boos.
Do two boos cancel each other?
Two negatives make a positive.
Yeah, I feel like it might do in this case.
Yep.
Second corner whip leads to a bear hug attempt. No, we've done that. Jab to the midsection, and Dusty is sent to the ropes, but manages to counter a hip toss attempt into a backslide for a count of two. I actually quite like that.
Yeah.
Big right drops Savage to the canvas, and now Sherry is on the apron. The Queen manages to get the Dream's attention, and the two exchange words until Savage blindsides Dusty from behind with a running knee. Sherry drops off the apron as the Macho King begins to choke the big man. As he walks away, Sherry takes over outside of the view of the official. The camera periodically highlights Dustin in the front row to track his emotions as the match unfolds. It's like he's a Furby and he's going to go off at some point or something. Right hand to the face and a knee drop gets Savage a near fall. With Dusty on his knees, Savage uncorks a series of short jabs before raking the eyes once again. Sleeper hold applied and Sherry is pounding the ever-loving shit out of the canvas in support of her man.
Yeah.
The woman can take and give a pounding. I'll give her that. Okay. Sherry is kneeling on the apron and the cameraman is sure to get a close-up shot of her arse, which stops Piper in his tracks before saying that is the best shot of Sherry he has ever seen.
That did make me chuckle.
With the hold still locked in place, the cameras focus on the audience as we see Ted DiBiase and Virgil make their way down to the front row.
There is no escape from this guy.
I know.
So annoying.
This bit is actually great, as both Ted and Virgil hand out money to the fans at ringside to clear out so they can have their spots. The only person not to sell their seat is Dustin Rhodes.
Part of me would have loved it if he'd have gone, yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
Cool.
I mean, the next bit would have been very difficult to pull off without him being
there. Yeah, I know, but it just would have been great. Just imagine just a deadpan again.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay, I'll take
it. Yeah. I like the fact that they had that entire row and they still chose to sit either side of him, really
right
close.
Next to him.
It's a bit weird. It's like etiquette. It's like etiquette at the urinals. You don't stand next to the person there if there's a gap that can be had
and you go to
another one. It's just not the done thing.
Okay.
Dustin tears up the money, which is very bold.
Yeah.
And throws it in the face of Virgil, screaming that he cannot be bought. Instead of arguing it for now, Ted and Virgil sit on either side of the youngster. In the ring, Dusty manages to get back to his feet and elbows free from the hold. He knocks Savage down with a shoulder tackle, but the camera quickly heads back to ringside, where Dustin is pulled back down to his seat by the Million Dollar Man. Mm. The two begin to exchange words as Dusty sees what happened from inside the ring and heads on over. The official has to step between Big Dust and DiBiase, who remains in his seat with his hands up to signal he is doing nothing wrong. When we return from commercial break, we see Dusty is draped over the ring apron and eats an elbow from Savage. Back in the ring, Savage continues the punishment with left jabs and another rake to the eyes. Big Dust is choked over the top rope, and just like before, with the official distracted, Sherry is on the apron choking the Dream with a length of cloth or garment, if you will, dead ear. Every time I do that, though, I want to say death dear right after it.
Yeah.
Dusty collapses to the canvas, but still kicks out before the count of three. With a handful of hair, Savage runs towards the ropes and leaps over and down to the floor, sending Dusty throat first over the top rope. I always like that.
Yes.
Macho Man heads to the top and scores with a double axe handle to the top of the head. Cover is only enough for two. More choking by Savage and more words exchanged between Ted and Dustin. Savage delivers more short jabs to a kneeling Dream before another rake to the eyes. Dusty tries to fight back and manages to prevent going face first into the buckles before making Savage suffer that treatment instead. Big knife edge chop drops Macho Man, but he lands a big right hand to the face from his knees. More choking over the second rope, but Dusty manages to avoid the charging Savage, which sees the former champion land in a heap. Big headbutt puts him down, but also drops the Dream. Sherry is practically in the ring, pounding the canvas to encourage her king to get to his feet. Body slam attempts see Savage legs buckle and Dusty lands on top of him for a near fall. Savage back to the top rope, but this time he leaps into a right hand. Dustin rises to his feet in celebration but is yanked back down once more by the Million Dollar Man and he nearly misses his seat entirely, who eats a right hand in retaliation. Dustin turns to face Virgil.
Oh.
Don't know who Virgil is. Dustin turns to face Virgil but finds himself clotheslined from behind by DiBiase, sending him over the barricade onto the blue mats, which actually looked pretty good to be
fair.
Yeah, it did. Double team beat down on the outside, but Dusty has his back turned and can't see what is unfolding.
It's kind of a crock of shit.
Savage is tangled in the ropes, meanwhile. Dustin gets a wooden chair cracked into his forehead. Now Dusty sees what is happening and heads to the outside to fend off the attack. While he is down there, Savage takes flight from the top rope and connects with a double axe handle before returning to the ring. At the count of four, the bell sounds as apparently the Dream has been counted out.
Yeah, that really... The bell went and
We've had this again, haven't we? We had it recently where there was a count out when it clearly wasn't.
Yeah.
And I think that was the big event we had that on.
The biggest event ever.
The biggest event of all time. Absolute, unmitigated, unadulterated dog shit. The winner of this match by count-out, Macho King Randy Savage. A bloody Dustin continues to take abuse until his dad throws himself on top of him to protect him, and now it is Big Dust's turn to take some punishment. After the damage has been done, Dusty is lying on his back, screaming, "No! My boy!" I'm just remembering the image as like Dustin looks like he's half asleep.
Yeah.
Just on his tit. It's a good visual. Shit match.
Yes.
Holly, what did you think?
God, it's too much outside for me. Too much. We know that I have problems focusing on these things as it is. I get it. It's telling a story or it's just being annoying. Million Dollar Man can fuck off.
Okay, take that to the bank.
1 out of 5.
You went higher than I did. 0.25. Fucking hated it.
Yeah.
Hated it. I'll be honest, for as good as Macho Man and Dusty Rhodes can be, every time I see them together, it is fucking atrocious.
Not been good, has it?
Atrocious. Choke, eye rake, punch. Choke, eye rake, punch. Punch, eye rake, choke. Fuck off. Do something else.
Yeah.
Double axe handle. I nearly started having a wank. That's how good that was in this match. Honestly, the state of it was abysmal.
Yeah, it's
abysmal.
Awful.
One of them, again, and now that's two Savage matches that have made me get quite angry.
I know.
Still not as bad as the George Steele one, but gosh, this wasn't much better. Okay. Right, I need to prepare myself for this one. The cameras take us backstage where Sean Mooney is standing between Hulk Hogan and Tugboat.
Right. Hang on, before you do this, let me just take a drink because I've got a funny feeling if I drink mid you do it, I may not be able to just...
You're going to be Triple H-ing it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Give me 1 second.
Okay, no, she's fine. That's fine. I don't think there are any impressions in this bit. Okay. I think it's the next one.
But it's still great. Right, I'm ready.
Hogan's skin looks like a perfectly cooked duck breast. That's just a thought that I put out there. Mooney says that in spite of all the celebrations, it doesn't feel too festive around here.
Oh.
Hogan says he is absolutely right as they are not going to celebrate until they have evened the score with Earthquake and Dino Bravo. Hulk refers to Jimmy Hart as that teeny little wiener schnitzel, which I have no doubt will have made Holly very happy.
Yes.
Tonight Hogan says that they are on the Autobahn with no speed limit and the pedal will be down to the metal, brother. What that means is after the match is done... Rhythm and Blues will not be able to strum with their guitars. They'll be playing flugelhorn and glockenspiel in an oompa pa band, brother.
It's so good.
You like that, yeah?
I did. Yep. I really did. Oh.
Tugboat has been left completely speechless by this and stumbles over saying that this is not the tag team they wanted to get their hands on tonight. He looks at Hogan like dumbfounded, like, what the fuck was that?
It's like he panics.
Yeah.
He goes, oh shit, now I've got to...
We get a Hindenburg reference, and Holly, I could be wrong, but I think German might be a theme for this show.
Yes.
Since their reconstruction, Tugboat says that he and the Hulkster are now earthquake-proof.
God.
If they have to go through Rhythm and Blues to get to the target, they actually want... if they have to go through Rhythm and Blues to get to the target they actually want, then that is Wunderbar.
Mm-hmm.
Hogan says this is D-Day. And the Allies have landed and they will have to face the largest guns in the world, the 24-inch pythons, brother. So what are you going to do when Herr Hulkster and Herr Tugboat Bavarian cream you?
It's just so bad. It's good.
The next one was, I thought, amazing from Hulk with the references he was coming out with, but that's later in the show.
Yes.
From here, we head now to a genuine Bavarian cheese factory where Mean Gene is standing alongside the Bushwhackers who are playing with knives. Don't try this at home, kiddos.
I know they're playing a part, but it instantly made me nervous because they are massive knives.
Yep.
Massive.
In the background, through the windows, you can see an audience of concerned citizens have gathered to look at these two monkeys slamming around knives into their product. Nobody cuts the cheese as good as the Bushwhackers do. Get it, Holly? Farting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Gene asks what one particular cheese is, so Butch cuts a piece off and shoves it in his nose before putting it into the mouth of Luke and announcing, "It's toe cheese!"
This weirdly made me feel really uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Really uncomfortable.
The Bushwhackers continue to lose their fucking mind cutting and eating cheese before they finally rip off the hat, which Butch is wearing. To see what cheese that is. Turns out, that's it, cheese, mate! Nothing I say will do this segment justice. It is unmitigated and unadulterated insanity.
Chaos.
As Mean Gene hands things over to Lord Al, Luke and Butch furiously eat their way through cheese in the most graphic way as one could imagine. Lord Al appears to be enjoying the latest number that he's trying, and so he relays this to Herr Schumacher.
Oh, Herr Schumacher, this is a much better blend.
So, be prepared for more of that later.
That's so good.
It reminds him of the time...
It reminds me of the time that we were on the Danube. There were swans swimming and there was a wonderful blue, a wonderful cruise it was indeed.
Okay. Lord Al appears to be enjoying the latest number. And then we go back because we're still having technical difficulties with Lord Al. As he continues to get sloshed, so we head back to the cheese-eating frenzy at the factory. Thankfully, the stop-off is only brief as we soon head back to the arena for the next match.
Yes.
Rhythm and Blues with Jimmy Hart versus Hulk Hogan and Tugboat. Holly, give me your thoughts.
Oh, kill me now.
Honestly. Yeah.
Honestly. So, two of my least favourite people here.
Jimmy Hart and Greg Valentine.
Yes.
Yep.
Even with... Oh, it just irritates me so much.
The dyed hair irritates the shit out of me.
It's so bad. So, so bad. And I don't want it.
But you're fine with Tuggers and Tugster.
I don't want any of this. None. Take it away.
Whose side are you on?
Oh, I mean, it has to be Hogan.
Of course
it
does.
And Tugboat. Because, oh my God, he makes me so angry. Stupid Jimmy Hart.
Brilliant. Standing in the ring is the tandem of Rhythm and Blues, who are preparing for their upcoming tag team encounter. What is that steam whistle we hear? Well, Holly, that must be the arrival of Tugboat. Holly, could you be kind enough to talk us through the whole Tugboat gimmick and attire? This might need its own section, if I'm honest.
This poor guy. Oh my God. It's the white trousers into what can only describe as like an old school men's like swimming costume design,
I think candy cane.
With the red and white horizontal little stripes and the hat. The white sailor's hat?
Sailor's hat.
So, it's just bizarre. Do you know what would make more sense? Dress him up as a boat. I mean, do it.
What, so when he like did a closing, oh, that was on the port side?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, God. How many seamen do you reckon he had?
Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Yeah, that can come off the rails pretty quickly, that one. Business is picking up, though, as Hulk Hogan makes his way down to the ring. Another great shot as the cameraman runs down the aisleway to focus on the former WWF champion. As Hogan concludes ripping his shirt and posing for the fans, we head to a quick commercial break. When we return, the bell sounds as both teams discuss who will start off the match for each side. Hogan will be squaring off for his team, but not before he joins in on the steam whistle noise of his partner. Holly, I spy a Hebner. Honky Tonk starts off for Rhythm and Blues and begins with a number of right hands to the former WWF champion. Quick tag to Greg Valentine, who I simply cannot abide with dark hair and blue pants. Double team whip, but Hogan ducks and drops both opponents with a clothesline of his own. Elbow drops to Rhythm and Blues and we get a win twice approved double noggin knocker.
Yay!
Valentine is whipped into the boot of Tugboat and Honky Tonk gets one to the chest. We get a brief game of punch tennis as Hulk and Tugboat take it in turns to land right hands on the hammer. Tag made to the big man who scores with a clubbing blow to the arm of Valentine. Armringer and Tugboat begins yanking repeatedly on the joint. Well, he is a tugboat, of course. Valentine looks to have the hold broken by stepping between the ropes, but he is quickly dragged away where Hogan can make the tag. Second rope double axe handle to the arm from the Hulkster, who takes over working on the joint. Tag made again to Tugboat, who picks up where Hulk Hogan left off, working over the left arm of the hammer. Oh, thumb to the eye stops the big man, and he eats a series of super rare, or Rhythm and Blues if you will, chops from the shit gimmick butchers. Elbow to the top of the head, and now a tag is made to Honky Tonk, who marches his way directly into a big bear hug.
Boo.
Valentine doesn't want to run the risk of losing the match and re-enters to club Tugboat in the side of the head, or, as Vince calls him, the Big Tugster. Honky Tonk lands a series of super weak-looking kicks to Tugboat before tagging Valentine back into the match. Elbow drop to the back of the neck finds its home, as does the forearm that follows Honky Tonk back into the match. Honky Tonk back into the match, and he delivers a ludicrous falling forearm that gets a count of two following interference from Hogan. Hebner steps between Hulk and Honky Tonk and nearly trips him over the member of Rhythm and Blues as Valentine continues to unload punishment on the big tugster behind his back. Another cover barely gets a count of one. Big Elbow and Chop and Honky Tonk is back in the ring to continue clubbing away. Blatant choke that is broken before the count of five. Series of knees to the back by Honky, and we hear the fans really begin to rally behind Tugboat. Neck crank on the big man, and now Valentine is back in the contest. Rhythm and Blues look to deliver a pair of elbow drops, but Tugboat moves out of the way and makes the tag to Hogan. Right hands land for everything that is moving, and that doesn't exclude Jimmy Hart,
Yay.
Who had made his way onto the apron. Another double noggin knocker sees Valentine timber down onto his face. The Mouth of the South makes a hasty retreat backstage as the match continues. Running clothesline and elbow drop by Hulk, who lands mounted right hands on Valentine thereafter. Back elbow off a whip puts the hammer down once again. Big Boot finds its mark, and when the Hulkster hits the ropes, he's grabbed by Tugboat, who is furiously pointing up the aisleway. Making their way down to the ring, whilst being held back by the officials, are Dino Bravo and Earthquake.
Yay.
Whilst McMahon tries to make sense of what is happening, we head to a commercial break. When we return to the action, Hogan has tagged in Tugboat and they score with a double team clothesline to Valentine. Big headbutt lands and corner whip and splash cause the hammer to wilt against the buckles. Hart is back up on the apron but is grabbed by the lapels of his jacket and in a blind panic runs back and forth. As Hebner is instructing Hogan to head back, Honky Tonk has retrieved his guitar and cracks Tuggers over the back, sending him over the ropes and down to the floor. Hebner turns around just in time to see this and signals for the bell as this one is over. The Hulkster throws right hands at both members of Rhythm and Blues before press slamming Jimmy Hart overhead and down onto his charges. Bravo now hits the ring only to be met with right hands before joining in on the double noggin knocker fun. From behind, Earthquake jumps Hogan and the five men lay in the boots to the former WWF champion. The Mouth of the South tells them to clear the way to allow Earthquake to deal out the heavy damage, which he does with a delayed power slam. The bell continues to ring furiously, but no help is in sight for the Hulkster. Earthquake leaps into the air and is assisted by all four men down across the chest of Hogan. I was expecting a stretcher job on this, I'll be honest.
Oh, God.
Yep.
Could you imagine?
Earthquake screams at the men to all hold a limb of Hulk down to the canvas as he begins to pound around the ring. He hits the ropes, but as he does, Tugboat swings the guitar from the outside, connecting squarely with the spine of the Canadian. Now he enters the ring and delivers guitar shots for every heel in sight, clearing the ring and saving Hogan. The voice of Howard Finkel announces that the winners of this match by disqualification are Tugboat and Hulk Hogan. A weary and battered Hulkster is helped to his feet by Tugboat, who raises the former champion's arm high in the air. Holly, what did you think of the match?
I didn't enjoy it.
No?
No.
No.
Too much interference, obviously. It was too long. It just bored me. The minute it started, I was ready for it to be done.
Wow.
Yeah.
1.25. So I didn't think it was great, but it was certainly better than what I saw with Dusty Rhodes and Savage. What is interesting here, though, Holly, and I'm assuming you will have some sort of passing knowledge of it, is that Tugboat did eventually, of course, turn heel on Hulk Hogan and become Typhoon.
Yes.
As the Natural Disasters. Yes. So bring back the Tugboat is all I have to say. McMahon now sends us back to the Bavarian Festival, where we hear an accordion in full song as the camera pans down the table showcasing the food on offer. Holly is holding her face, preparing to laugh, perhaps.
I know what's coming.
We now head to a sausage packing factory, which immediately has Holly's attention. Didn't you tell me that was your dream job?
Shut up.
No?
That's ridiculous.
Okay, fine.
No.
Standing in the factory with two handfuls of meat is the genius. Mean Gene informs us that we are moments away from the infamous Oktoberfest sausage stuffing contest, which will be presided over by the expert sausage stuffer himself, the genius. Gene tells us that the genius is an honorary member of the Sausage Stuffing Hall of Fame. Picture is right up there beside Holly, I think.
Oh my God!
Gene tells us that the genius, so now it's time to introduce the two teams. Captain of one side is Hacksaw Jim Duggan and the WWF Tag Team Champions, the Hart Foundation, Brett.
This is so bizarre, of all people to be there.
Yep. Taking them on is the team captain Mr. Fuji and the Orient Express. Mr. Fuji, and I will say it again, can do no fucking wrong in my eyes. He's amazing. Yeah. Everything he does is amazing, except wrestle, where he doesn't have knees. A respectful bow from the Orient Express before Gene informs us of the simple rules for this contest. Stuff as much sausage meat as you can into the casing within 60 seconds. Mm. Sounds easy, right?
Mm.
As the contest begins, Mean Gene asks the genius what he thinks. I debated doing an impression of this, but I don't think I can do it. Because he calls himself the genius is a master of the art of stuffing sausage.
Yeah.
Ah, because he's kind of got this weird timbre when he talks.
Yeah.
The genius is a master of the art of stuffing sausage. No, we're going to leave it there. He then utters a phrase in German before saying that basically the Heart Foundation are thick and therefore he bets on the Orient Express. Oh. At least he does it in rhyming form. As Gene counts down from 10, from under the table and in what is unquestionably the moment of the night, Mr. Fuji retrieves a full length of salami and slams it down on the table as though that is what he completed in the time given. A full-on argument breaks out and it's determined that it will be damn near impossible to call the winner, which is a true shame, so instead we head over to his lordship, who has been watching keenly. Three sheets to the wind is good old Lord Al, as he laughs away while still liaising with Herr Schumacher. He begins to tell a joke about three fishermen. One of the fishermen didn't have any arms, one doesn't have any legs, and one doesn't have a head! Sadly, that is all we hear of the joke, as Mean Gene informs us that we're still having technical difficulties.
Oh.
As Gene hands it back over to Vince, McMahon says that perhaps Lord Al, or it says here Lord Dell, should have some sausage shoved into his ear instead of the earpiece for all that good it is doing.
Mm.
Right into another match, Holly.
Yes.
Texas Tornado.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Versus Haku. Sorry, Jake. With Bobby the Brain Heenan for the WWF Intercontinental title. Your turn to talk about the Texas Tornado.
Big fan.
Why?
Oh, it's very easy to look at. Very easy to look
at. Okay.
Yeah, I mean...
Slight horse face.
How do you think?
A little bit. I'm not saying he's an ugly man, but he's got the kind of long lower jaw, which...
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And also batshit crazy.
Well... Of course.
Yeah. But I blame his dad.
But here for it.
Yeah, here for it.
Here for it. Happy about it.
Yeah.
Great.
Get your foot in there nice and... Well, he's only got one, hasn't he?
Oh,
So whose corner were you in? Jake?
Yeah, thankfully, autocorrect didn't happen this time.
Brilliant.
No.
Texas Tornado.
Of course.
I really like the Texas Tornado. Yeah. Like, as many jokes I've just made, as a kid, I always looked at him and thought, you're cool.
Yeah.
There's just something innately cool about him, isn't there? So, yeah, no, fair enough. I'd have been on his side as well. I actually had him as a Hasbro figure as well.
Did you?
Yeah. We see the challenger ready and waiting in the ring alongside his manager, Bobby Heenan. I genuinely think it's a real shame that the Brain was not involved in the Oktoberfest shenanigans because he is pure gold.
Oh my God, he would have been so good in that.
Just think about him in the Halloween stuff that they did.
Yeah, he would have been so good.
He would have been brilliant. As we await the arrival of the champion, the fans in unison chant, Weasel, Weasel, in Heenan's direction. Although it's finally changed it to Herman, so which is a quite German Herman, name in itself.
Yeah.
Kerry Von Erich makes his way down to the ring, and to be fair to the man, he absolutely looks like a superstar.
Yes.
The first thing that we will need to contend with, according to Piper, is Old Boob, which is what he refers to the Brain as. He calls him Boob. A fan at ringside is holding a sign that reads, Pop goes the weasel, and I guess only time will tell. The bell sounds and we are underway. The official Joe Morella gives both men their instructions, but before they begin, the Tornado has a few words with Heenan. The Brain makes a very simple request. If Kerry hands over the Intercontinental title now, they can call it even. Call it even. Everything's forgotten. Amazing. Heenan shouts that Tornado is going to get hurt and hurt badly. He shouldn't be worrying about him. Talking to him because he's got his hands more than full with his challenger.
Ooh.
Both champion and challenger circle one another, but it is clear that Kerry is distracted with the presence of the Brain at ringside. They briefly lock up before releasing, but on the second attempt, Kerry connects with an arm drag takedown and follows up with a big body slam. An early attempt at the Iron Claw sees Haku scurry out of the ring to discuss with his manager. The Brain tells him to pace himself as the Tornado is stupid and won't know what to do after a while. Haku returns to the ring and they lock up where they wind up against the buckles. Corner whip is reversed and when the Tornado staggers in, Haku locks in a reverse chin lock.
Boo.
Kerry elbows his way free, hits the ropes, but runs straight back into the same hold.
Boo.
The fans stamp and clap in support of the champion as the cameras show us Bobby Heenan looking as though he is playing with his, well, Bobby, as his hands are down his pants.
Yeah.
Nothing comes of this either.
No.
When he spots that the camera's on him, he quickly turns his back to it and walks around the corner of the ring. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
The tornado finally fights free and connects with a series of right hands until he is raked across the eyes. Backed in the corner, the champion eats a series of shoulders to the midsection before being whipped across to the opposite corner and taking a splash. Headbutt by the man from the islands, and now he chokes the champion with his bare hand on the canvas. We nearly get disqualification, as it's only at the second time of asking that the hold is released. Kerry scores with some right hands and whips the challenger into the buckles before applying the iron claw as he staggers back out. Haku stumbles back into the ropes, and much like for the choke a moment ago, it's only when the referee reaches the count of five for a second time that the hold is then broken.
Yep.
Kerry hits the ropes and lands the tornado punch and puts Haku down for the 1, 2, 3. I was surprised that it finished that quickly.
Literally, I've just put, it was a weird ending. I thought more would happen.
I agree.
Yeah.
It didn't feel right, especially when I saw the length of show that was left, because there was still about 15 or so minutes at this point. I thought, there's only one other match that I know is happening.
I know.
And that was longer than I thought it was going to be as well.
Mm-hmm.
The winner of this match by pinfall and still Intercontinental Champion, the Texas Tornado.
Yes.
What did you think of the match?
It was all right. I mean, I gave it 1.5 because I was also a bit like, well, where's the rest of it? Like, I don't know.
He lost it in a motorcycle accident.
You know what I mean?
Oh, right.
I don't know. It just seemed a bit off.
Yeah.
But it was all right.
Yeah, it felt very odd all around. Like, yeah. I want to know why Heenan was playing with his junk.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to do like brass knuckles
That's
or something.
What I thought.
But no, he's just realigning the twins, maybe. Yeah. I gave it 0.75 stars because there wasn't really any content. I'll be honest. I think that's probably more generous than it should have been, because there's really no moves even in this match.
Just a bit odd.
Yeah, not particularly great at all, to be honest, but here we are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, ladies and gentlemen,
yes,
this is my highlight of the evening, I think.
Okay,
what we get here. After successfully defending his title, Kerry raises the gold into the air as McMahon sends us backstage to Sean Mooney, who is once again with Hogan and the Tugster. Clearly, this promo was shot at the same time as their pre-match promo, as Hogan is once again at prime oiled duck breast consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Hogan is clutching at his ribs, and Sean asks him what the extent of his injuries are. Aye, aye, Captain! Steady as she goes, brother! Hogan says he took a little water on the port bow, but he's still afloat. You know something? One if by land, two if it's cool with me. What are you saying? Jimmy Hart makes three, and we could have taken on the whole family. Yep.
Mm.
I'm not going to do an impression of him, but this phrase is sensational. Everybody thought I was just a tugboat. No. No one thought you were a tugboat.
God.
What a fucking stupid standalone sentence that is. Tugboat then goes on to say that after hanging and banging with Hulk, it has turned him into a full-fledged battleship, brother. His torpedo tubes were loaded, and he wishes that they could have taken on the family.
Oh, okay.
Hogan says that they're going to have a war at sea, and then he declares war against Jimmy Hart and the entire family. Hulk continues the painful boat metaphors by saying, the first thing they will do with Earthquake and Bravo is swab the decks with them before calling them a pair of tuna fish. Then, with their guns at their back, they will make them walk the plank and go 20,000 leagues under the sea by Davy Jones' locker. The best part of that, Holly, was I genuinely guessed the end of that promo before I actually heard it, as I said it before Hulk did. Babysitting the Bismarck is the only job that they will be fit to do. I'm surprised he didn't go, rub-a-dub-dub, two dudes in a tub, brother! Like, I don't... It's so weird. Like, it's everything water is just... Oh, honestly.
So bizarre.
We head to another commercial break, and when we return, we see Frankie standing on the ropes, standing on the top ropes, as one of the participants for the next match has made his way to the ring. Holly, just talk to me about that promo for a minute while I gather myself.
It was exhausting. I felt like I'd dropped acid and then was watching it. But, it's so bad, but
it's
good.
It's great.
Genius.
I'm going to go as far as saying the backstage stuff from this show is better than every other show we've ever seen.
I would agree.
And we've seen some, like, you like the Halloween stuff.
Oh, I love that show.
I wasn't a massive fan of that one, but this
is epic.
Brilliant.
It's just
And we're
brilliant.
Not done.
No,
we are
no,
not
I'm
done.
Aware.
We are not done. Brace yourself. Final match of the night. So technically, Holly, it's main event time.
Ooh.
Coco Beware with Frankie.
Yep.
Versus Sergeant Slaughter with General Adnan.
Mm.
What?
Mm.
Whose corner are you in?
Coco.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I will go with Coco. But I will be honest, I think Sergeant Slaughter does really well here.
Mm.
Because he makes... Because given the size disparity...
Yes.
Sergeant Slaughter makes Coco look like a legitimate threat.
Yeah.
And everything that Slaughter did in this match was spot on, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's a great match, far no. from it. But everything Slaughter did, he did to the best of his abilities, and it was good.
Yeah.
Because when I saw this match was going to be on, I thought it was 30 seconds, Slaughter puts him in the sleeper hold, that's it, game over. And that wasn't what happened. I will say, the dumbest fucking finish of any match we've seen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what? But we will get there.
Okay.
We will get there. So Coco exchanges a couple of high fives with Howard Finkel before we hear the drum roll that signals the arrival of the Iraqi sympathiser, Sergeant Slaughter. Once again, the bell sounds before the participants are anywhere near ready to engage. As Slaughter begins disrobing, the fans chant USA in full voice, sending General Adnan insane.
Mm-hmm.
McMahon queries what the medal is being worn by General Adnan, what it represents. Piper suggests it's for cleaning sewers, which is something that is awarded in Iraq, if he is to be believed. Oh, you fixed a toilet, good boy, give him a medal! Is what Piper says on commentary.
God.
When we do get underway, the two men circle one another before Coco ducks an attempted collar and elbow. Coco encourages another USA chant, and I've only just noticed quite how neon green his tights are for this match.
Yes.
The camera pans the audience where we see the largest pair of glasses I have ever seen on a human being sat beside a mulleted bullseye contestant wearing a Hulk Rules vest. Sexy.
Yes.
Coco ducks another attempted lockup, causing the Sarge to grow frustrated. As the third chant of USA... At the third chant of USA, they do finally lock up, and the Birdman ends up backed against the ropes. Big overhand right by Slaughter doesn't find its target, and he runs into an arm drag and then a hip toss.
Mm-hmm.
Second arm drag sends Slaughter to the ropes, and he looks to be backing off as Coco flaps his arms. Slaughter approaches the referee and indicates that his opponent pulled his hair in order to get him down to the canvas.
Okay.
Great hit, it's just the...
At the back, yeah.
Yeah, it's the mannerisms and the gesturing that I thought was brilliant. Coco kicks at the bottom rope to ensure that General Adnan keeps his distance before returning his attention to his opponent. Kicked to the gut by the Birdman, but he is pushed off to the ropes and barely sways Slaughter when he jumps to connect with a shoulder tackle. Coco slides between the legs of Slaughter and delivers a dropkick that knocks him down to the canvas. Whipped to the buckles, but Sarge sidesteps a corner splash which sees Coco land hard. Sarge is also another person who had a very unique way of hitting the buckles on a corner whip.
Yeah.
And we saw it, I'm pretty sure, against Hogan at WrestleMania, where he runs and he basically launches himself over the things to connect with the post and then fall down to the floor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it, again, always looks really... Because he's a big guy and he throws himself around pretty well. Yeah, we see Frankie flapping wildly at ringside as the Birdman eats an overhand chop to his sternum. Big back body drop by Slaughter, who follows in with a knee to the chest that gets him a count of two. Piper says that Coco is doing this for all America, so no pressure there, and he takes a giant forearm to the spine after being pushed off the ropes. Overhand forearm in the corner, and a backbreaker by Sarge gets another near fall. Slaughter ducks too early off a whip and is punished with a swinging neck breaker. Another drop kick, make it two by the Birdman, and Slaughter is reeling. Headbutt sends the Sarge into the ropes, but he counters a whip, only to miss a clothesline, but he catches Coco mid-air and drops him throat first over the top rope. Slaughter grinds his knuckles into the temple of the Birdman like a noogie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which I'm pretty sure was a schoolyard bullying tactic. However, on this occasion, it is enough for the Birdman to signal his surrender.
Mm.
So much for Piper saying at the start of the match that this is a man that never quits. The winner of this match by submission, Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah.
As General Adnan waves his Iraqi flag in the ring, the fans begin to cheer, but not because of this. Standing near the entryway is Nikolai Volkov, who is waving Old Glory as patriotic music now begins to play through the arena speakers. A furious Slaughter points an accusatory finger towards the Russian, and they counter by waving Old Glory with a more fervent waving of the Iraqi flag. Holly, what were your thoughts on this match?
Yeah, I've just written down croc. 0.5. Just dumb ending.
Yeah, a noogie for a finisher.
Really dumb.
I thought he was going to put him in the not the camel clutch. Oh my god, not the million. It's the $1 million dream, but
yeah,
cobra clutch. Thank you. But
that would have made sense at least.
Yeah.
Yes, but it's just shit.
Yeah, I'd be honest. I thought the actual content of the match up to that point was pretty good, so I gave it 1 star. I gave it 1 star because the shit ending dragged it back down.
Yes, it did.
But yeah, like I said, Slaughter, I thought, made Coco look like a legitimate threat, which credit to him. Back to Bavaria we go, Holly.
Yay.
Where we see Jim the Anvil Neidhart doing traditional German dancing in his wrestling boots. Slick doesn't think this is very good and begins to take over in green tights and what appears to be women's footwear. And I'm confused.
Yeah, it looks like he's wearing slippers.
It does, doesn't it? When the Anvil once again commences dancing, those in attendance cheer, and I'm absolutely fine with it.
Yeah.
The gift that keeps on giving now returns as a hysterically drunk Lord Al is trying to finish his fisherman joke to Herr Schumacher from earlier. And then the fisherman! And just no sense is coming out of him, but it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Gene says that it is clearly more than a technical difficulty we appear to be suffering with Lord Al at this point. As Brett looks to join the Anvil in his performance, he is accidentally bumped into and spills the content of his beer all over the Orient Express.
Mm-hmm.
That is all it takes to signal the mother of all food fights, as Pat Tanaka throws a handful of mashed potato in the eye of Hacksaw Jim Duggan, who returns fire with a half-eaten wiener. Mr. Fuji stands on his feet and shouts food fight, either in German or Japanese, I don't care which, signalling all of the baboons to begin throwing everything they can get their hands on at one another. Bonus point for Luke, who has retained his civility by using a big silver spoon to shovel mashed potato at his intended targets instead of using his hands. I think Akeem is confused as he just throws food at the heel standing in front of him. Just as I say that, Duggan, who has what appears to be a miniature chocolate cake, launches the baked good that smacks Mean Gene upside the head.
Everyone just looks like they're having a genuinely fun time.
Yeah, they really do. They really do. They love a bit of food play on Saturday night's main event, don't they? Gene takes another cake to the face as the chaos draws to a close. After another commercial break, we head backstage to the locker room area where Sean Mooney is standing with the WWF champion, the Ultimate Warrior. Warrior snarls at the camera as Mooney references his recent humiliation at the hands of Queen Sherry on the Brother Love show. Worth noting that under the circumstances, we are expected to believe that Warrior headed backstage after his match and repainted his face a completely different way as to how it was earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm.
As working as a commander of a legion of warriors as great as mine, I need not lower myself to striking the evil brawn of the World Wrestling Federation.
So, that's what is said.
Wow.
Sherry is not a threat to the Warrior, and when he finds Savage hiding behind her skirt, then he will realise that he accepts the challenge and will fall to the full power of the Ultimate Warrior.
Okay.
Eva Braun reference as well. Back to World War II. Sean hands it over to Piper, who is alongside the Macho King and Queen Sherry. we can now see that Piper is wearing a kilt with a lederhosen, and it isn't a bad look, actually.
It's quite amusing when you see it full.
Piper confirms that Savage is now the number one contender for the WWF title. He mentions that Sherry slapping Warrior not once, not twice, but 3 times created quite a furor.
Ooh.
In the WWF for Raw.
Yeah.
Piper questions if they have... Although he says apologies for my French. Piper questions if they have gotten in a little over their heads. Sherry says that she has not gotten in over her head, and this is where I see the face paint,
mm-hmm.
and the Ultimate Warrior was a coward then and is a coward now. Coward together, coward forever, or something like the new WWE thing. The only thing he has done is seal his destiny as the Macho King will take back his WWF title. The faces that Piper pulls as the Queen is talking is incredible, including sniffing her hair as though he smelt something off in the room.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, which I just think is great.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do this. I think I've lost my voice.
Okay.
The once and future WWF champion is the Macho King, and that is inevitable. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I gave Randy a go earlier.
Yeah.
I've just done Warrior. Yeah. I'm done. The faces... Oh, no, we've done that. We return briefly to the commentary position with Vince McMahon and Roddy Piper, who hope that the fans have enjoyed Saturday night's main event Oktoberfest so far, before they recap some of the moments that happened throughout the show. For the final moment of the show, Vince hands over to a cake-covered Mean Gene, who is finally standing beside Lord Alfred Hayes, who has finally put in his earpiece and can join him with the festification. The food fight is still going on in the background as Al takes a look at the comrades, at his comrade, and simply says, "You are a disgusting mess. You have made a spectacle of yourself, and why didn't you call me? I kept on waiting for you to call me, and now look at you. You polluted everything here." Gene begins shouting back at Lord Al, asking him why he didn't put his earpiece in his ear, and just when his lordship goes to walk away, Gene pounds him in the chest with another cake before delivering a blow to the face.
He's got the biggest smile on his face.
He does. Oh. He does. Yeah, Roddy Piper begins yodeling before Vince finally tells us about the next Saturday night's main event, which will take place right after Survivor Series. Piper screams that he is off on his way to the food fight and recommences his yodeling as we see highlights of Gene getting caked whilst the credits roll and the show comes to an end.
Yes.
Holly, a tour de force of senses, this one.
God, it really was.
What did you think?
Yeah, it wasn't good.
No.
It really, like, no. The wrestling side of it, yep, was really poor.
Yep.
The rest of it I loved.
Yep.
Like, give me just a solid 20 minutes of all the
shenanigans.
Yeah, great. 4.5.
Okay.
I was happy it finished. It did give, like, it gave with all of the shenanigans. That was it.
Yep.
The wrestling itself was diabolical.
I gave it 5.5, and that's purely because of the shenanigans.
Yeah.
The shenanigans were so good that it offset some, because I was looking forward to the in-between bits instead of the matches.
Exactly.
For a change, which I don't think has happened on any show we have watched.
No.
I'm glad we got to counterbalance that with a show that had actually decent wrestling for a Saturday night's main event. So it wasn't just, like I said, it didn't feel like a two-hour show that had been cut in half that we've done in two sections. They were very distinct and unique. And I will have some all-time memories, I think, from the Lederhoser food fight fest that we saw. It was amazing. Lord Al, on point. I tried the impression earlier, but then the Warriors kind of fucked me for the rest of it. So what can you do? But, yeah. So, Holly, now, I know for a fact there's going to be a lot of outfits that caught your attention in this one.
Six.
So we've doubled the previous show.
Yes, we have.
Are we considering the Lederhosen as a thing?
No.
Okay, so Piper doesn't get in on that either.
No, he doesn't.
Who was on the show? Kerry Von Erich's entrance gear you would have liked.
Correct.
Hogan wouldn't have been on there. Tugboat certainly wouldn't have been on there. Legion of Doom.
Correct.
Warrior.
Correct.
Oh, Coco Beware?
Correct.
I don't know beyond that now.
Okay. You're only missing two. So we go.
Oh, Savage.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Legion of Doom. I just think it's a really good look.
It is.
I do really like it. Warrior. And I have put here, it's so bizarre to me to think that someone just wearing pants and tassels makes it into the list, but it just works.
It does.
It's so good. Macho Man with the blue, white, black tassels, cowboy hat, glasses, and then the outfit he's then in later is even better for me.
Yep.
It's great. Sherry is actually on the list because of the white sequin dress, the tiara. Again, Kerry Von Erich is so similar to Warrior.
Really is.
Barely anything to it, but it just looks brilliant.
Yeah.
Big fan. And Coco. The sequin waistcoat, the bright green pants, the parrot details, the gold boots... Brilliant, brilliant look.
So, I'm going to say that Savage will have been in contention.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if, because you haven't seen them for a while, I'm going to say Legion of Doom.
This is really getting boring. Yes.
Hey!
It's really boring.
Oh, I know my co-host. Right. I know my co-host. I just thought because it's been so long since you've seen them and that is as classic of a look as they're going to have.
Exactly.
Although potentially on the next show you may see them again.
Okay.
You will. They're on that show.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Because so that was 92, isn't it? So that will give you an indication as to where we're going for the next recording.
Yeah.
Holly, yes. How can people get in touch with us should they so wish to do?
WinTwicePod@gmail.com or WinTwicePod on Instagram and YouTube.
Yep, nearly forgot the word of it there, but we got there in the end. So again, you can write in with show suggestions or thoughts on any of the shows that we have covered, not necessarily our critiquing of it, but just what you thought on those shows in general, because it's always good to hear your guys' and girls' thoughts, because it makes it more interesting, to be quite honest. I think that's pretty much the end of this road, isn't it?
Yeah.
Two back-to-back, nailed it.
I know.
Professionally run outfit, this one. And I'm not going to make a joke about you saying something at the end of the show, because that completely stumped me last time.
Brilliant, man.
But I've had a nice time. You had a nice time?
I've had a lovely time.
Wonderful. And until the next show, everybody, take care.
Bye.
Until next time, this has been a Win Twice Wrestling production. Peace out.